Father, I thank you and I praise you for all that you've done here during the praise and worship. Father God, I want you to secure us in a perfect place that you would have us to be this night in you. Take the shackles off. Set us free. Set us at liberty to be who you created us to be. And Father, we give you full, we just give you our all tonight, and we say, God, change us from the inside out. We give you full control, Father. We hold on to nothing, absolutely nothing. And Father, we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I don't know. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said it. This young man was talking, and he told Bob Larson that God told him, "I want 99.9% of you." So that's what he wants, 99.9% of you. No, he doesn't want 9.99. He wants 100% of you. Sorry there. So what are you holding on to? Just give it to him. Just give it to him. It's not worth holding on to. It really isn't. Well, I went home this afternoon thinking I had my service all together. I'm still trying to teach that one I tried to teach a week ago. So I called Brett and I said, just get that one up and we're ready to go. So I sat down to my computer and so God started talking. So I'm going to give you what he said. And while he was dictating this, I said, God, I wish I could change the praise and worship around so we could sing Overcomer and all that. And this goes right along with what we're going to do here, what he's saying to you tonight. So see, God has all things in control. God said, a line of safety has been thrown to those who are struggling in their walk with me. The time to grab that lifeline is right now. The safety net has been put in place to catch you if you miss the line. I will not allow you to stumble and all ever again. Does it make sense? I must miss something. Oh, fall. Stumble and fall ever again. I hate it when they change this on the computer. So God wants it all tonight. Just free fall into his arms tonight. That's what he wants you to do. Just free fall into his arms. Just be loose as a goose. And just let it say, here I am, Father. Every imperfect part of me, I give it all to you right now. God said, new fruit is on the branches, and the enemy is trying to steal it before it becomes ripe unto harvest. So I looked up this scripture, John 15:4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and what did God say up there? New fruit is on the branches. Unless abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So God said, new fruit is on the branch. So that tells me you are walking in good standing with God. And the enemy is trying to steal you away. You have to be connected to the vine. All right? God is the vine. Does that mean you're connected to the vine? And you're still bearing fruit. But the enemy's trying to take you. How's he doing that? By trying to take you backwards. Trying to make you think of what you left. Trying to make you think of all the hurt and all the pain. Don't let him do that. God said, children run, do not walk to the anointing. Devil, you're a liar in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You are not going to steal God's word. It is yes, and it's amen, and it's accurate. And Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The devil's upset. He does not want you to hear this. So we know we're on the right path. Children, run, do not walk to the anointing. The anointing to destroy all the works of the evil one is here, this minute, to do a perfect work. There is a peace within every storm. You just have to find the eye of the storm and secure yourself there before the enemy carries out his plans to destroy you. And we all know when the storm's getting ready to start, do we not? Because all the signs are there where we immediately run to the eye of the storm. God told me early on in my walk with him, daughter, always run to the eye of the storm. I had to look that up. They say in a tornado, the peace is in the eye of the storm. And you know what a tornado does. And so what we need to do before this tornado takes hold, we need to run into the eye of the storm, which is the arms of God. Let's remember that. I'm telling you, everybody knows when you're getting ready to be hit. And instead of you sitting there waiting, well, what's this going to be like? Don't say, what's it going to be like? It's going to be safety. It's going to be peace. And the enemy's not going to be able to touch you when you get into that secure place. All right, there is a peace within every storm. You just have to find the eye of the storm and secure yourself there before the enemy carries out his plans to destroy you. Many of my people are bleeding unnecessarily. There is a safe haven for you to run into. It is just a whisper away. Find your niche in me and run to that cover every time the enemy comes by. He cannot, and I do mean cannot, destroy my purified ones. It does not matter what he tells you. Well, you've just sinned too much. You're unworthy. You're unloved. Whatever he tries to tell you, don't believe him. Anytime the enemy tells you he is going to destroy you, laugh in his face and tell him, thanks for letting me know you can't. If he could, he would go ahead and do it. And he brings that little bit of discouragement to try to make you believe you can't make it. All right, then Jesus said, did not enemy tempt my son Jesus? Let's read about this. This is right after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit fell on him. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Who led him into the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. Into the wilderness. Why was he going there? To be tempted by the devil. Every time God starts you on a new journey, a 40-day fast is required. And when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, it sounds to me like right here, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that what we're going to read, the devil did not tempt Jesus during his 40-day fast. Because it says now, when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus became hungry after 40 days. Didn't say he was thirsty, so he drank. But being in the wilderness, he drank water. Okay? But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'll die if I don't eat. Well, you'll die if you do, is what that's telling you. Then the devil took him up into the holy. You see, he passed that first temptation. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. See, Satan knows the word. He was in heaven. He was an angel. He was a great musician, and God kicked him out because he wanted to become God. He was not satisfied with who he was. He wanted to become God. And Jesus said to the devil, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." That's why you need to know your word, so you throw the word back at the devil. Again, the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And the devil said to Jesus, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." That's what he does to drug addicts. If you worship me, I'll give you a high, right? Or whatever. Then Jesus said to the devil, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, in him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him. When he found out he couldn't tempt him, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So I am so glad we had this song service tonight, because we sang all these wonderful songs about who we are. Now, do you believe that? Because you're going to be tempted. We're no different than Jesus. We're going to be tempted. And so after all the temptations, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And just like we read Isaiah 54 this morning, I've been going through it just like you have been going through it. It's been a bad time the last 5-10 years for leaders to really keep their head about themselves, keep their mind on Christ, because we've been fought even worse than you are. And then one day God said, "Daughter, you've made it. You've passed over." I was so happy. And the same goes with you. You can make this. You can make it. And don't tell yourself. Don't tell me. Don't come and tell me you can't make it. Definitely don't do that. And if you tell God that, he's going to tell you you're wrong. You can make it. You're an overcomer. You're going to stand your ground. You're not going to back down anymore. Then God said he intends to continue to do the very same thing to you, you know, the devil. What happened when Jesus quoted a word to his enemy? And we read up there in verse 11, then the devil left him. I'm believing that every one of you in here tonight that was here this morning, receiving the Holy Spirit, you're no longer going to give in to the temptations of the devil, because he's done his dirty work for however old you are. That's how long he's been doing the dirty work, trying to destroy you, but you're still not destroyed. And if you stand your ground, he's going to leave you. He's going to go to the one you're trying to get into Christ. And he's going to tell his dirty lies to them. He's going to go against your family members. If he can't have you, he's going to start attacking your family members. I know that because he told me that. And he will keep attacking, and you have to sit by. And just like God had to watch Jesus be crucified, you have to sit by and watch the devil crucify your children. But you can't give in. You'll cry. You know, and you'll do all manner of whatever. You'll even say, "God, please cover them. Don't let them suffer for my sake." Some of you have kids. Your kids are suffering because you serve God. So don't throw your children out to the dogs. You need to keep them covered, and you need to keep following God. Because eventually, with your prayers, your children will serve God. God said he will leave you also. If this were not so, I would not have spoken it. I roam this earth with my all-seeing eye, looking for those who will serve me. The enemy has twisted this version to where he is also going to and fro, looking for those he can destroy. Isn't that just like the enemy? He imitates everything. He has no original idea. So why would you serve him? He always has to copycat off of what God's doing. So why would you want to serve somebody that doesn't have their own original idea? Think about that. Still a tug of war. Who are you going to allow to win? This tug of war is even worse now than it was before. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger for you to hold on to that rope and keep holding on to Jesus, because the enemy is throwing everything at you that he has in his arsenal. Then I heard God say, "He who overcomes." So I looked at Revelation 3:21. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Then Revelation 21:7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Look what you have to look forward to if you overcome and you go to heaven. You have all this. And if you don't overcome and you go to hell, all you have is torment for eternity. And in Romans 8:31-9, this is what Paul tells us. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." Satan is constantly bringing charge against us, but God is also there vindicating us. "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul suffered immensely. I think he was whipped 39. I think he is whipped 5 times with the 39 stripes. I think 5 times is right. Jesus was whipped once, 39 stripes. Paul endured 5 times. He had all kind of problems, but he stayed with Christ. He didn't even ask to be saved. God just knocked him off his donkey. Blinded him on the road, and then he called him into his ministry, and Paul just answered and went ahead and did what God told him to do. Are you listening? In other words, Paul didn't have a way of escape. He said, God said, "You're it. Come on, let's go." And Paul went. God says, "I'm calling you." And you say, "Really? I don't hear you today." When God called me, I had no choice either. God just said, "I want to use you. This is your hour." Come on, guys. He's given you an opportunity to reject or receive. And you're still sitting here, so I'm believing that you're receiving, but you're being fought by the enemy, and you're holding on for dear life, wanting to receive all that he has for you one day when you're with him in glory. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified." You need to understand that God knew you in heaven. Period to end. You were in heaven. God knew you. You had a conversation, and God said, this is what I want you to do. And then he sent you down here to earth to accomplish that work. He sent Jesus was in heaven, right? And he sent Jesus down as a baby, and Jesus had a works to do. God knew you. He formed you exactly the way he wanted you. And now he's asking you to do the works that he's called you forth to do. I said, God, I'm 50 years old. And I said, I wasted all my life. He said, no, you didn't. You were in training for 50 years, and now is your season to be used. So I don't care how old you are. You can say I'm 18, 19, you know, whippersnappers. But, you know, it doesn't matter how young you are. Up to this point, you were in training, and God's ready to use you now. Period. End. God said, throughout my word, I encourage you to move forward into my marvelous kingdom of total light. Never once do I leave you hopeless. I'm always by your side, leading you on. Come, beloved ones, time to move on. We have a harvest to bring in. Some are falling along the wayside, but you, my strong warriors, have a word in season and out of season to speak to these weary ones. In Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, I'm going to tell you this, us older ones who in the past 10 years, we've grown weary at times. We really have. But we kept on going, kept paving the way for you younger generation, because you are the ones that God wants to use to bring in this harvest and bring this complete revival in. And I would feel so privileged and honored if I were you that God, that you're even sitting here tonight because God has called you. And he's trying to bring you forth. And us older people, we're going to be here as mentors. And we're going to slap you if you get out of the will of God. Amen. So God's going to use the young and the old together. So we aren't going to push anybody to the wayside. Because every one of us have an anointing that God needs to use. Now I'm going to go to the next one, Brett, okay? God said, in the state that the world is in, I'm going to move by my spirit, and I'm going to bring my true warriors up hither and speak swelling secrets into their ears. I want you to know that these words that God gives us is for our church. This is who I'm preaching. This is who I'm teaching, is this church. So what you hear here is what God is saying to you. So what did he call you? He wants to speak to his true warriors. He wants you to bring up hither and speak swelling secrets into your ears. My gospel must reach the unlearned before the great catching away. I have a less traveled road that you must follow to meet all the criteria for the coming days of Holocaust. Now, I'm not going to read the scriptures. I'm going to skip over them, Brett. Now, God said, I am amping up my angel activity just as the throes of hell are amping up their warfare against my chosen ones. Now, when God told us we were dealing with fallen angels, that's part of Satan amping up his army. The warfare has been rough, but the blood stood the test of time. The blood will always suffice. And he's talking about the blood of Jesus. The enemy is after the cross and all it stands for. If you get in his way, his plan for your life is total annihilation. He wants to just kill you. At all cost, you must be sincere in everything you say and do for the kingdom of light and power. Many of my warriors will spend time in the heavenly throne room acquiring personal instructions from the Father. And some of you, God spoke that to this morning. He called you up hither because he wants to give you the deep secrets of the word. Just as I commanded John to come up hither, I have been summoning my true warriors to come up hither. Come now, let's reason together and get this matter straight once and for all. I feel with everything part of my being that some of us are going to be like John the Revelator. God's going to call us up into heaven like he did John. And he's going to explain everything that's going on. And we're going to write it down so that others can know what's going on and know how to motivate. I really do believe that. And this scripture says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." God wants you to come up hither and talk with him. Close out the world. Who was it used to always go to a closet and shut the door and tell his wife, "Don't bother me. I'm not coming out till I get instructions from God." And he stayed there in that closet just praying until he heard from God. We don't really go to that extreme, but we do have to find some place where we can go and pray without interruption until we hear the voice of God. We need that voice if we're going to be used by him. "There are those among you who cling to your ounce of flesh, but that very ounce will be your downfall. There is no scapegoat this time. You have received your orders, and it is you who will stand before me facing judgment for your complete disobedience." Now, a scapegoat is a person who is blamed for the wrongdoings, mistakes, or faults of others. "Well, he made me do it." You can't say that no more. You know, little scapegoat is gone. He's standing before you, and he's judging you by what you are not doing. "Instead of seeking solace in others, you must prostrate yourself before the throne of grace and rectify this matter." You know, get off your phones and talk to God. "There are some here this day whom I would have used mightily, but because of your lack of submission, you will not do the great and mighty exploits. You will watch and see another do what I had called you forth to do." That made me sad. "You say this is too harsh. Maybe so, but my word speaks of this coming day, and this day has come upon you. I spoke to you over and over again through my prophet, but still you did not heed my still small voice speaking through my prophets, nor did you listen to me personally when God gave you a personal word. Do not shift the blame onto others or me for your current situation. It is your own choices, your paths of compromise that has led you here. I cannot use a compromiser." No more compromising, guys. "The battle is raging, and the saints must march forward to bring in the harvest. Today is different than what tomorrow holds. Each day has its own problems. I have warned you to walk out one day at a time. What have you done with all the warnings I have sent forth as proclamations?" Read that again. "I have warned you to walk out one day at a time. I still hear you worrying about what's going to happen a month from now." I just said that myself. One day at a time means one day at a time. Like God told me one day, "Daughter," he said, "you just need to walk out this day because you wouldn't be able to handle yesterday and today together. There's too much there." So he wants us to walk one day at a time, walk that situation out. The day is over, you're laying busy. And then you get up the next morning, and there is the next problem. But you can't handle all the problems at one time. They will take you under. All right? They will literally, and you lay down and you lay there, worry, 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 worry. That's not leaving it. It's not leaving that day behind. You have to lay down and say, "God, I give it all to you. When I get up, we'll start again." And go to sleep in peace. All right. So he said, "I have set forth as proclamations." A dramatic change often begins with proclamations. I want you to know that. "Spring will turn into summer," and that's June the 20th, "and you will see the greater works being sent forth." Spring will turn into summer on June the 20th. And I wrote that in there for our information. "And you will see the greater works being sent forth. You shall see the glory without measure." Oh, let's stop there. God told me a while back something is going to happen in June. I just remembered that. something that's going to happen in June. And he's saying here, you will see the greater works being sent forth. You don't have any more time. You've got to get it together. This is May. We've got to get it together to go into June, to get in, to step into the miracles and the greater works. Please quit hesitating. You're halting. I hear God say you're halting between two opinions. Quit hesitating and just get it right, and so you can move on. You shall see the glory without measure being poured out upon the faithful ones, and you will be standing along the riverbanks desiring to get in, but cannot because of your false humility. Now, Johnny is a prodigal. He's come in to fold at this given time, which is a perfect time. I don't know who else is a prodigal in here. I know we must have somebody. Brett. Brett's a prodigal. He just decided, well, he is. He just decided to get it together. And you did it at the perfect time, because you did it where you're going to step right into the miracle power that God has been promising us, the great glory drop. Brenda's going, and that's Merlin. She's in your prodigal. You can kick her if you want. That's all right. I see. I told on her. But it says, you shall see the glory without measure being poured up upon the faithful ones, and you will be standing along the riverbanks desiring to get in, but cannot because of your false humility. Now, God did say about 6 months ago again, the last will be first and the first will be last. Wouldn't it be something if Brother Johnny, who just came, decided, well, I might want to get this right, and God uses him as great signs and wonders, and there stands his wife. Yep, that's what first is last. First will be last, last will be first. That's what that means. And wouldn't it be something that the same thing happened to Alan? Here's Donna just getting in there thinking, what's this crazy church all about? Got rid of her devils, and then God's using her mightily, and here stands Alan with his mouth gapped open. He said, well, God, you promised me. See how this is going to work? This is really how it's going to work? So if I was you, I'd get it together. Transgressors have no place in my heavenly kingdom. I have criteria for the heavens, and all who enter must walk out that criteria. There are only absolutes in my kingdom. There is never a negative. Hear that? So the battle was rough. The cross was rougher still. I like that when he said that. Well, you just don't know what I had to go through. Well, you didn't go through the cross. So you had to give up your flesh. My son gave his flesh and shed his blood for you. You see, there is no legal argument you can bring to the courts. My kingdom is a kingdom of absolutes, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And you'll find that in Isaiah 28:10. I'm going to read what this says here. The repetition in this scripture emphasizes the importance of gradual learning and understanding. And this is what you girls are doing. It's line upon line and precept upon precept. And I'm like you. When I first heard, I said, what? Really? Duh. You know? And it took me a while. Still to this day, I read a scripture, then maybe 3 months later read again. And said, I didn't see that when I read it before. So we're all learning line upon line and precept upon precept. And precept upon precept refers to the idea that we learn by building upon foundational principles or teachings. It suggests a step-by-step approach to gaining knowledge and wisdom. Line upon line, similar to the previous phrase, it emphasizes the gradual accumulation of understanding. Just as Jesus... All right, well, let me just stop here at this. God spoke to me 5 years ago, maybe six. He said, I want you to have an altar call at every service. Now, listen to what I'm saying. So at the end of every service, and I said, okay, now we're going to have the altar calls, and this is what God's going to do. Do you really know what he was telling me? Want you to have an altar call at every service for those who are not saved. And 2 years down the road, I said, oh, It's for some reason or other God brought that to me. You wanted me just to do an altar call for the unsaved. Instead, I did an altar call for what you wanted to do for them. See what I'm saying? This line upon line, precept upon precept. And I don't care. You probably think, well, duh. I don't understand why you didn't do that. Well, duh, I just didn't. And so when somebody says, you, well, duh, why didn't you get it the first time? You just didn't. And so we're all the same. So here a little and there a little indicates that learning and revelation come in small portions. See, I don't mind telling myself on myself because I'm supposed to be give you my testimony and then you learn by my testimony. You here, y'all thought I was so intelligent. Now you find out I'm not. It's not intelligence, it's spirit. We don't always receive complete understanding all at once. Instead, it unfolds gradually. All right. Remember that. Despite God's patient teaching, some people refused to listen, fell backward, becoming ensnared. I think it's interesting to note how many great men of the Bible were called into special ministry after they had already demonstrated an ability and a willingness to work, and where they had also shown faithfulness and loyalty. So let's look at some of those. Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, when God called him. He already proved to God he is faithful and loyal, and was a good worker, could be trusted. David was tending sheep for his father. He was out there in the field just singing his praises to God, having a good time taking care of the sheep, so God could trust him with his sheep. Peter was a fisherman. So here was old rough Peter. He was really rough from what I read. He was a gangster monster type thing. And, you know, he was out there pulling in the fish, and so Jesus chose him because he could then bring in real men, real fish. He'd be real fishermen. Paul had a trade making tents. Paul didn't mind making a living. He didn't mind hard work. Jesus was a carpenter by trade who was trained by Joseph. He was the Son of God, but still he had to work. He was a carpenter. And God said, I am looking for men of valor to fulfill the end time hour work. These are those that have been in boot camp learning the tactics of the enemy and have learned to stand when there is no reason to stand. And I believe there's every one of us in there tonight. We have learned to stand when we have absolutely no reason to stand. We just stand because we know that God is able, right? And it doesn't matter what Satan throws our way, we still stand. All right, he says they have been on the mountaintops and they have been in the foxholes and are still standing. They have learned steadfastness through many trials and errors. Remember, I used to always tell you guys, I wouldn't want you in my foxhole. I'd turn around and you'd be gone when the war started. Some of you, I still feel that way about it. So if the war starts, don't jump in my foxhole unless you're willing to fight, right? Isn't that right? All right, mighty men of valor is a phrase used in the Bible to describe men who were loyal, skilled, and willing to risk their lives for others. They were men who surrounded David and would fight for him. A man of valor is also described as someone who is faithful to his commitments, keeps his word and promises, and perseveres in difficult tasks or under adversity. So are you a mighty man or woman of valor? Can God trust you? You know, even if you have you still have your isms, when somebody's in trouble, you're right there for them. You're ready to back them up, ready to help them. You don't kick them when they're down, but you take hold of their hands and come on, you get back up again. God's calling the mighty warriors into his kingdom right now. He doesn't want you to think that you're not worthy. I just still think it's wonderful because Friday I got the praise and worship, and then Sunday afternoon I get the message that goes right along with that. You see how organized God is? He can do anything that you need him to do for you. Absolutely anything. All right. My Father has kept me all the days of my life. Some of you can't trust him to keep you. And you start leaning towards man to keep you. If you really and truly love the Lord your God with all of your heart, if you're really following him with every fiber of your being, your Father will keep you. We don't have to have big fancy mansions. We're going to get one in heaven. They tell me, I don't know about that, but they say that. Well, the Bible says that he has our mansions ready. So we're going to get that in heaven. So let's quit worrying about where we're living. And let's just, because Jesus didn't even have a place to live. If the women wouldn't have put him up as he traveled through the town, he'd had to sleep in the ground. So tent city was already going on in the Bible. You know, homelessness was already there. So what are we worried about all those things? Why are we worried about all those things? Our Father knows our every need, and he said he'll also supply every need. So you're saying, well, I don't know if I'm ready to go out in the field. Well, Moses said, I can't go, God, because I stutter. Then God said, all right. He was a little bit upset with him. He said, I'll send your brother, and he can speak for you. But you're the one that's anointed to do what I need done. Don't tell God you stutter. Don't say, God, I can't do. You can't do. You cannot do it on your own. It takes the Holy Spirit. I can't do anything I do unless, you know, the Holy Spirit's with me. I sit there doing praise and worship, and I just continually ask the Holy Spirit to, you know, I empty out my vessel, and I ask him to take over my vessel, because I can't give you what God wants you to have. Only the Holy Spirit can. Now, I'm going to do an altar call, but it's not for the unsaved. I know you'll think about this when you lay in your bed at night. Do you truly want to be the warrior that God has called you to be? You are the warrior, but the enemy's making you believe you can't do this, but you can.